Hey sis, welcome to the Mom Keys to Mental Peace podcast. Now, real quick before we get into the show, did you know that this podcast is a spinoff from a book that I wrote? Yes, Mom Keys to Mental Peace, 12 Tips to Become a Healthy Mom and Raise Healthy Children. In this book, I share my story about how I identified toxic patterns of thinking about life and motherhood. I share how God helped me to transform by the renewal of my mind. I didn't want to keep this revelation to myself, so I packaged it in a book to share how you can transform your mindset and lifestyle too. This book is for anyone who desires to break unhealthy generational patterns in their family, want to build healthier and stronger relationships with their children, or for anyone who wants to overcome the battle of negative thoughts in their mind. After reading this book, you will learn how to gain confidence in who you are as a mother, handle unhealthy thinking patterns when they appear in your mind, and position yourself to achieve mom life balance. This book is available wherever books are sold, and the link will be in the show notes. Now let's get to the show. Welcome to the Mom Keys to Mental Peace podcast. I'm your host and sister in Christ, Tari Kaya Allen Butler. This is a podcast for millennial moms who struggle with limiting beliefs and want to learn how to make over their mindset and lifestyle in faith and family. Tap in each week for the Mom Keys to Mental Peace podcast, where you will learn major keys to stop coming up short on your goals and start leveling up for the type of lifestyle you desire God's way. Ready to level up? Let's do it. All right. So welcome back to another podcast episode, everybody. I have a special guest with me today that I'm excited to talk to in honor of Autism Awareness Month, also with me in my field of speech therapy. I work very closely with special needs children. They have a special place in my heart, and I have a special respect and high regards for special needs moms because it's not easy, you know, working with them at work. So I can only imagine, like, you know, living with a special needs child, you know, the daily needs that they have that need to be met. So I'm excited to have Aisha Hunt with us today. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I am doing well. So just a quick intro. Aisha is like a Renaissance woman. When I got her bio together, I was like, yes, sis is doing all the things. So again, my guest name is Aisha Hunt. She is a mother of three. She has two biological sons and one son who has been with her since he was 1 year old. Unfortunately, her oldest son passed away. Was it last year or 2 years? Last year, yeah. Oh, my, time is flying. Oh, my gosh. Girl, so yes, unfortunately, her oldest son passed away at 5 years old, and we'll touch a little bit on that today. He was diagnosed with KCNQ2 gene mutation. And her 9-year-old son that she has living with her is diagnosed with autism and a developmental delay. But Aisha works in the nursing field. She is an ABA therapist. She's a business owner of Glamish Cosmetics, Majestic Beats, and Nehemiah's Transport LLC. And she is in the process of adding to that resume by becoming an event planner. So welcome again to the podcast.
Thank you.
All right. So just jumping in, I guess, giving a little bit of background information. Let's just go like to the very beginning, whenever you were pregnant. Can you share your pregnancy experience, in particular with your oldest son, Nehemiah? Were there any signs of complications in your pregnancy? Were they able to track like any abnormalities in his development during your pregnancy? Like, what was that like for you?
So, crazy thing is, with my pregnancy, I'll tell anybody, if I could have did his pregnancy over again, I would have. It was like the perfect pregnancy.
Wow.
So at the beginning, it was no type of issues. The only issues I had was my blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Anything like far as him, I had no issues. Pregnancy was really perfect. The crazy thing, I did do a genetics test during my pregnancy, showed nothing.
Wow.
Right. So, and
how soon did you do that? Like, how many weeks were you?
They did it around the, I believe I was like 12 week mark.
Yes. Okay.
So the normal little genetics test, see if the baby has any genetics issues, Down syndrome, you know, all those things.
And right.
That clear as day. Nothing of the sort. So, you know, thought everything was good. I ended up getting induced at 38 weeks and 6 days due to my blood pressure. Mm-hmm. And when he was born, he died on the table twice. And they brought him back. The second time they brought him back, he started having seizures. So they automatically took him and they shipped him to another hospital. I wasn't able to see him for 2 days. So when I finally got to, they shipped him to Wake Med first. And Wake Med did a gene panel. And that gene panel showed nothing. They were still like in not understanding what the issue was, what was going on. So they ended up sending him to Duke Hospital. From Duke, he was there from October all the way to November 10th. And when he was there, they ran all types of tests. I mean, he was in the NICU for that whole point of time. And when they finally ran the test, they did a 5,000 gene panel. And at that point, that's when they came back and told me he had a KCNQ2 gene mutation, which means he was missing his potassium sodium channel, which that is how our body operates. Sodium come in, potassium go out. That's just how our body functions, which also caused him to have a rare case of epilepsy, encephalopathy. And with his gene mutation, only 99 people in the world had it.
Mm-hmm.
So when he was diagnosed, they were still trying to learn about it. They knew nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
So they were basically trying to cater to his medications through his seizures and stuff like that, because they didn't know what to do with the gene mutation, just because it was such a rare condition.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just tell people, a lot of times the doctors be like, when people say, what does he have? I was like, oh, he got epilepsy. Like, they like, no, you need to let them know he has a gene mutation, because that's a very serious condition and that's his main diagnosis. And me, I'm just like, nah, I mean, it ain't that serious, but it was very serious.
Mm-hmm.
So of course it caused him to have a lot of issues within that. He didn't talk, he didn't walk. They learned that he had seizures very frequently. And so we spent and lived a lot in the hospital.
I remember kind of vaguely, like, we were pregnant around the same time. That's when I was pregnant with Janae, because I remember we were at a football game together and we were talking about, you know, because she was, I think I had her in January. So you were a little before me,
mm-hmm.
A couple months ahead of me. So I can't imagine, you know, him having to be sent somewhere else day one, day two of being born. And this is your first baby, like,
right.
Your first everything as far as becoming a mom and, you know, not being able to see him. Like, can you just, I guess, explain, like, what was going through your mind at that time? I know that you're strong in your faith. Like, how would you say that God helped you in that season to mentally, like, push through?
So literally in that moment, so the first time that he died on the table, of course, I ended up having to have an emergency C-section, because the doctor told us if he didn't go ahead and get us back, we both were going to die. His heart was dropping. my heart rate was dropping. So I went in for emergency C-section. When they took him, the first time he, now, you know, they weren't telling me anything. So I'm laying on this table like, what is going on? I don't hear my child, nothing. All I had was pictures. So the second time, so I'm telling them like, what is going on? They take my son out and I don't know nothing. I'm telling, so I told my sister who was in the room with me, I'm telling her to, you know, go out there and tell them to call my pastor. Call my pastor. I don't know what's going on. He literally stopped Bible study and came up to the hospital. And it literally took that. He came in there because they brought me to recovery. So he came to the room where I was in recovery and everybody that was there, because I mean, those little people ended up coming like family and them and his dad. And they literally just prayed because they had just came in and told me that they were going to have to take my baby to another hospital. I still hadn't seen him. I did not see him for 2 days. So it literally put me in a position. I'll tell anybody any day that this situation with him, it literally brought me closer to God. Like, it really put me in a place where I had to learn to travail more. Like, I pray more, like, forgiveness, because it was a lot of stuff that, you know, I was harboring in my heart that I literally had to go to the Father to ask, you know, for forgiveness, to be able to get to him on the behalf of my son. And so in that point, it literally took me to a place deeper in God, because I knew in that moment that that was the only place my strength came from. And so that's where I was at. That was the only thing that was keeping me. And anybody that know me, it was a song I tell anybody any day. I literally sung this song from the time I seen him at 2 days old at Wake Med. Because, of course, I couldn't leave right away with him. I had a C-section. So they really let me go earlier than I was supposed to. And they were trying to keep me from my time. And I'm just like, no, I got to get to my child. So they let me go, and I always sung this song for him from the time he was born to the time he died. And it was that song, and it kept me. It said, it won't always be like this. The Lord will perfect that concerning you. Sooner or later, it's going to turn in your favor. And I literally sung that song every single day. Even when he was laying there, passed the way he was there, I sung that song. I played that song until they took him to the morgue, because that song signified, like, I knew it wouldn't always be like this. But in that moment, I needed God to perfect everything concerning us. And I tell people any day, I mean, it was literally God's strength. And to this day, it's God's strength and Nehemiah's strength, the way he fought, the way he pushed, the way he kept going every time, you know, hospitals would call, anytime someone, you know, they claimed death for him. Literally, it was God's strength. And, you know, Nehemiah 8:10 says, the Lord, joy of the Lord is my strength. And it was literally that keeps me. And so it's literally that situation. I know people, like, I was like, it was so much deeper than just a mother, you know, son relationship. Like, my life revolved around him. He literally taught me so much, especially when it came to faith. Like, I literally, oh my God, like, it was just crazy how I grew in leaps and bounds through this situation, through my son, because I literally had to pray for him when they're calling hospice and I'm having to go to God for him. I was his advocate. So it literally, like, put me in a place. And sometimes, did I get defeated? Oh yes.
Man.
When you look at things with your natural eye and you see things for what they really are, and you get down, because of course your mother instinct is going to kick in as a mother. So you're going to have those realistic moments like, God, what you doing now? Hold on. I'm not understanding. And I remember a scripture that says, you might not understand what I'm doing now, but later you will. And I remember by later, the later was, I grew in faith. I grew in God. And I grew as a mother. And I was able to, I know now that I have a book coming out. When I finally finish this book, it's going to be Pain Is Not Final. And I know pain is not final. And I've learned that through this situation, even through death, he's still winning. He's still showing me. He's still helping me. So that's where I was.
Girl, you had to make me shout over here at this table, because that's, man, talk about faith. Talk about having to literally, like, I just picture, like, just being frail and just leaning on God, like this limp body, like I
Oh.
literally can't do anything but like lean on you and depend on you. And it just makes me think, like, what if that was like, you know, I'm sure he had many purposes. I feel like special needs children definitely had a special purpose because they changed the character in their caregivers, like
Right.
having to serve someone. Having to serve someone with special needs that needs you, it really does a shift in your character. I just can't help but think like one of his main purposes was, you know, for you to learn God in a different way, for you to deepen your relationship with him. I mean, you would never have known God the way you know him now unless you went through that situation, you know?
And that's so funny you said that, because I literally got a word after he was born, and it was a prophecy. I got it twice, actually. It says, this didn't only happen because you needed to get closer to God, but it was because he was a prophet to the nation. And
Man.
it did just that. It brought me closer to God.
Literally, literally. I know I share a lot. Like in 2018 was like my transformation year as far as like my mindset and just getting serious about my relationship with God at that time. But ironically, that's when I started working with special needs children. I was in the self-contained classroom. And involuntarily, I had just got started in speech, and there was something that went wrong with the paperwork. Again, this is how God can make everything work out for our good. Within that error, I was sent to the self-contained classroom, and you know, those are the more severe special needs children, and I had to work closely with them. And when I say God did a work on my attitude, on my attitude, on my mindset, on my gratitude, you know, as I've shared at the beginning, like I have a high respect for special needs moms because I just really started reflecting, like, you know, I may be complaining about my son leaving his clothes on the floor or washing the dishes or something, but there's this mom who would love for their child to, for that to be a problem, you know, something so simple that we take for granted. And I remember a mom too sharing, like, you know, I feel like my daughter will never have friends or be invited to sleepovers. Just little things that you may take for granted. This is what's going on in a special needs mom's mind. And it just really humbled me. Like, you know, girl, what is you complaining about? Or what are you over here, you know, whining or worrying about? Like, it just really pulled a deeper sense of gratitude out of me as far as a mom. And like I said, a high respect for special needs moms, like legit.
That is so true. It's a lot
So,
of things.
yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just saying, yeah, it's a lot of things. I had that mentality with Nehemiah, where he didn't, you know, walk and he didn't talk, and even though he could express his own way, and everybody knew our relationship was everything.
Mama
I
knows.
literally, yeah, I knew when he wanted something. I knew when he wanted to send me love. I knew when he wanted to give me a kiss, but I also knew I wanted to also really experience the walking, the talking, and stuff. So a lot of people didn't understand when I decided to do the method that I did to get, you know, my other child, because I was like, I just want to experience motherhood. It don't take nothing away from Nehemiah. But I just wanted to experience those milestones. I wanted to be able to see the first step. I wanted to be able to hear him tell me he loved me. I wanted to be able to experience all that, be able to, you know, him to eat out of a tube and not out of his stomach, just all those things. So, yes.
And you deserve that. And you deserve that. And I will say that I admire, you know, your decision with doing that because, you know, you're very vulnerable and open about you know, what's going on. You're well known in the community. Nehemiah was well known. Everybody knew him. So that opens the door for a lot of opinions, for a lot of people to have a say about your life. But listen, this is your life. Okay, you
Absolutely.
have the desires in your heart that God has placed in your heart, and you deserve that. And again, like you said, that does not take away from Nehemiah. His legacy is stamped forever here in the earth. Like he came and did what he was supposed to do. So I'm happy for you for that.
Yeah.
Now I know You have an older son that you said you has lived with you for a while, and he has autism. Would you like to share your experience, like as far as him being diagnosed, or what were some signs that you noticed in him since you said you've had him since one? What was that like?
So with Dion, he had more so a lot of delays at first when it came to talking, came to walking, potty training. So that was already a sense of, a little bit. But my brother, which is his uncle, my sister, which is his mom, her twin, he's the one that kept coming to me and kept saying, "I think Dion is autistic, just little stuff he did, little stuff. He doesn't like loud noises." It was just little stuff he did. So finally, at he went to Warren Williams first for pre-K, and they end up doing a little bit of testing, but of course they couldn't do much then. So he just was doing speech therapy, occupational therapy there. And it wasn't until he went to W.B. Wicker, they ended up doing testing, did the psychiatry. They sent us to advanced behavioral. They diagnosed him with ADHD, and at that time they said he had autism spectrum and developmental delay. And so first they watched him. They said he was borderline. He would do little things like he has like sensory issues. Like one day, me and Dion like had it out in here because I gave him a little Reebok shirt that was cut off that he wanted to put on, but I thought the shirt was fine because I'm like, the shirt is made like that, Dion. He was not happening. He's like,
Little
absolutely not. That's not how it goes. That is not the shirt I'm gonna wear. And we went back and forth till he got another shirt. He doesn't like loose pants. He like has tight pants. Due to his sensory, like, his learning is, really off. Unfortunately, he's still like on a kindergarten level at 9 years old. So he's severe in that aspect, but he is of course verbal. He still does speech and occupational. They pull him out for EC classes. He does have some, behavioral. But it's more so when he's not off his medication. So it become a lot because he has like hard comprehension. He doesn't comprehend things well. You have to continuously repeat these things, and then he stams a lot. Like he has to rub the stick. It's like, and a lot of people outside of the house, when they see Dion, they don't know these things because all they see is Dion as Dion. He's gonna talk and run that mouth. That's just what Dion do. But in this house, it's a lot. It's a hard task, and it's trying to help him. And for me, as a mother who went through a severe child and then having one, he does function, but then it's like, especially on a learning aspect, and no offense, me personally, I was an honor student and stuff. So, and unfortunately, his biological mother, she wasn't. And so, when it comes to education and trying to train him, like, you have to really have patience. It takes a lot of patience and trying to understand their methods of learning because they're not on your level. And so it's a lot. It's been a lot. And I literally just takes a lot of prayer, a lot of, and then on top of that, when you have other genetics in you, genetics and the things working together, it takes a lot of prayer. Because you have to reroute them. A lot of times they don't like change. He doesn't like change at all. He wants the same things every day, every day. And for those moms, they know, like, when it comes to autism, because he finally was diagnosed at later on in that year at age 5, he was diagnosed fully autistic, developmental delay, and ADHD. And from there, I ended up taking him from W. Wicker because it became like, of course, he had an IEP and things. It was continuous, and it's like, you guys diagnosed most of them. You kind of know the issues, and it was just so, it became a thing, and I kind of just, moved him to try to get him better help because autism is a lot. You know, they do a lot of different things, but one thing about autistic kids, they're very, very smart. They're very smart when it comes to drawing. The child can draw his tail off. He can draw so good when he's focused on something, like he loves super heroes. So right now he's in there before I came in here, because I told him don't come bother me. He's in there dressed in his old Halloween costume as a superhero right now. So he just had to look Dion B. So he's in there as a superhero right now, coloring in his book. That's what he wants to do every single day. And if it goes out of his norm, he's like, no, well, I don't understand. So it's like literally a daily process that you just have to keep, and you just have to understand their way of thinking.
Yeah. I mean, as a professional who works with children with autism, children with ADHD, developmental delays, it's a hard day, girl. It's a hard day. And then, like you said, with those certain things throwing them off, and each of them are different. As far as autism, the spectrum is so different. Something that bothers one child with autism may not bother another. You know, the severities are different. So trying to accommodate everyone at one time in that classroom is hard. So I commend you, you know, for, you know, sometimes you do have to just go along. You have to pick your battles, honestly. Yeah. And having those things in place. So like you said, right now he's in his superhero outfit drawing, and you have to think, is this hurting anybody? Like, is anybody in danger? Is anybody like, just kind of, if that's what he wants to do and he's into, to mellow out and calm him, then it's like, cool, I'm here for it. I know a lot of times the needs of special needs children kind of put me in the mind that it's like, mentally, they're still like the toddler stage, you know, for certain things or their comprehension. And with my toddler now, I see like difficulties that he has with routine or moving past things. And, you know, he's not developmentally delayed, but I do see that he has a hard time with those things. And I just think like, man, there are some special needs moms where, you know, usually at 2 years old, it's like, ooh, this is just a stage or a season and they're out of it. But for a special needs mom, it's like, this might be a year after year thing that, you know, we're having to address or work through or try again. And again, my heart goes out to y'all, and I commend you, because that does take patience to really, you know, not lose your mind. And I'm sure there are those times where it's just like, this is so hard, which, you know, brings me to my next question. What would you say the hardest thing is about being a special needs mom? And on the flip side, what would you say the best thing about being a special needs mom is? Because I do believe there is beauty in the struggle, but we can start with, you know, what's the hardest thing?
I would say the hardest thing is, honestly, is understanding their different dynamics. Trying to correlate with them and the things that they need and want. Because sometimes, like Dion, he has a hard time explaining things. And I'm trying to understand, like, what does he need? So he gets frustrated. And he gets frustrated that it would be. I'm like, what are you saying, Dion? What are you saying? And it's like he sometimes just go off the wall. And I just don't be knowing what he's talking about. And so then we're both sitting there frustrated, because he's frustrated with me because he don't understand me. I'm frustrated because I'm like, what are you saying? And then it's harder to get a break. That's really hard. It's a struggle when you don't have a village. Yeah. But those would be my hard. Those two are my hardest things. But the beauty of it, he's such a special kid. Those kids are so special. They're so awesome. And just being able, I was glad when I was chosen to take him on, not knowing the difficulties that was going to come with it. But I was glad, because I would rather have these difficulties than him have stayed in the system. So every day, it's the joys of seeing him come home when he's walking through that door, and seeing him be able to show me about his little, as he called them, color papers. His teacher prints them off color papers because that's Dion's thing. And so to just see him so invested in something, like he can literally draw from memory. So that's one thing he does. He has an awesome, 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 awesome memory. So yeah, just doing life with him every day, what I would really just every day, the process is really, it just makes me happy, even through the hard times. Beauty for ashes.
Beauty for ashes. He will do it because, and that's a good point you made as far as the system, because could you imagine him being in the system with his, you know, diagnoses and, you know, wherever he was at and how they would, you know how they're handling him or their lack of patience with him or whatever, you know?
Hard task. He was there for 2 months in foster care. And I was pregnant when Nehemiah came and got him. And those was the hardest 2 months of my life. Just because I'm just like, what is he doing? And then he ended up having a seizure with those people. And of course, they called me instantly because I was his guardian. But it's like, what is they got going on? You know, they got to the point where he had seizures. He had never had seizures before. But then when I finally got him back, when they, I got a new caseworker who fought to get him back my home. Because one of the workers tried to say, oh, with me having Nehemiah, because by this time I had Nehemiah like 26 days later. And, you know, of course, everybody knew what he had going on with him being in the hospital. And they like, oh, it's going to be too much on you. And it's like, I'm just like, how are you going to tell me what's too much for me? He needs to be back with me. And I had a new caseworker who literally fought to get him back with me. And when he did come back, he was so scared. He was scared of everybody that he knew. So I could just only imagine if he had to stay longer than that, what would have happened? Like, his mindset, like he's really scared of everything. Like Dion can run through the house, turning flipping lights on just to go to his room. And that's another thing where it takes, because it's like, in his mind, especially with especially these kids, they see things, they hear things that we don't see. So then it takes me as a mom, takes me as a mom having to pray harder, because now he has this thing that's just tormenting him. He's just scared. He's just all around, and it's like, this is a daily battle for me. And I'm literally having to pray, and I'm telling him, Dion, every day, stop being so scared. Like, God got you. I have to tell him every day, plead the blood. And, you know, not that he understands what I'm saying, but he'll do it sometime. And then it's like today, for instance, my aunt is here helping me because she felt like, you know, I was going through some things. She was like, I just feel like you need someone right now. So she came up here to help me. And she got telling him, because we just got a new puppy, and she got telling him a story about how a dog tried to attack that. I'm like, please stop telling him that. I said, stop telling him that. Because instantly he started doing this and he started looking over his shoulder. I said, Dion, don't start looking over your shoulder. So I said, it's okay. He's just telling a story. I had to tell her literally to be quiet, and I wasn't trying to disrespect my elders. But his mind correlates a different thing, because he's going to think this dog is going to do this to him. So now he's already scared, and now you're putting more fear in his head. So then I have to be the one to deal with that, added on to what else I already have to deal with. So it takes a lot of strength. It takes a lot of word, a lot of prayer on a day-to-day basis to do that. But we have our good days. Like I said, we have our good days. We have our highlights. He was having so many struggles on the bus till last month. He got bus ride of the month. Right, I was like, what? They gave a boy a certificate and everything. So I'm like, it's some wins in the situation. You know, you stay consistent. Staying consistent and staying, you know, upholding prayer. Prayer, I tell you, prayer gonna get you through.
Yeah. Without ceasing, period. Like, girl, and then I know how you touched on he's good at drawing. I would say that's one of the my favorite things about children with autism is like, what is their superpower that they can do? You know, for some of them it's drawing. There's one kid I work with, he knows all the states in America. He can write them off. I worked with one kid who could look at a math problem and tell you the answer. And we would have a lot of fun with him. We would just give him like random math. He would just look at it and say the answer, and I'll put it in like, let me check, because I don't know. And it would be right. So just like you said, their brains and their minds, like there are some like communicating things that may not be connected, but whatever that superpower is for them, baby, when it's connected, it's connected, and they take off on it and really show like, I do know something. There's something going on up here, okay? It may not look like yours. You're something. Something connected up here. I love that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I love that. So I know you shared that like your aunt mentioned like, hey, I just feel like you need some help, which I'm sure all hands on deck can be used as much as possible for you, and how you shared about not getting a break. Man, because mamas need a break. Specifically, I know a special needs mom, because you're all moms are always on anyway. But I feel like there's a certain height that a special needs mom has to be on. There's like very little debriefing time. So how would you say that like family members, community members can best support special needs moms?
I always say, just offer a helping hand. Whether I don't care if it's just words of encouragement, if it's just say, hey, you want to bring the kids out for a park date, or you want to get out for an hour, just anything. The little bit means so much. The little bit means so much. Even down when it comes to the community, understanding and knowing that all these kids are special. There's nothing wrong with them. Don't look at them like there's something wrong with them. You can help them. Show them the way when you're around them. Keep them on a consistent basis. When it comes to like school would be community. You know this child. It's easy to help a parent out when special needs when it comes to the school. Okay, we will use Dion. Dion knows his teacher every day is going to give him a printout paper to color on. That's a highlight for him. So when he comes home, he has something that he's looking forward to doing when he gets home to be able to color. So then that gives me a time to just say, I can relax. I can sit in my room and just take a moment woosah, because he's occupied. His teacher has helped in that even though she doesn't know she helped, she's helping because he'd be so focused and occupied that he doesn't really come bother me till he really just needs something. And so find little things, when it comes to the community or family, find little things that you can do and just offer help. That's the biggest thing. Just offer some type of something. For me, I be reaching out. I'm like, I tell their grandpa, my Dion's grandpa, like, hey, sometimes I need you to get like, I need a help. Don't be scared to say I need help. And then as a parent, especially me and mom, you just say, hey, this is the things he don't like, this is what she likes, this is what she don't like, and help them so that they can help you and make it easier so that you can get the village you need. And don't be scared to ask. Because a lot of times we, especially mom, be scared to ask. So we can't get help from my community. We can't get help from my family because we're like, oh, it's going to be too much on them. Oh, they're not going to help. They're not going to do this. They're not going to want to do that. And so then we're stuck in a place where we're about to lose our minds because we don't got that outlet. So, but I also feel like, like I said, that as community, and then sometimes, the severe ones that are nonverbal, the community, they're looking at them like a problem. And I'm just like, You don't have to teach them. I love the fact that Florida like lets regular kids come to pre-K because it also allows them to see that these kids are just like you. They just have different ways. They're all special. And so as a community, you could teach your kids, and it helps that mother in the same sense by telling them, hey, when you approach this kid, don't stare. Don't just look at them. Help them. Some people, you know, wait to them.
That now, like let them children learning it early, like, yes, that's good. But there's some adults that need to learn that too. Like,
absolutely. Yeah. I be having to tell them, and then some people, like, it aggravates me the most when people like, yes, I do know spirits. But you also have to work. They be like, oh, it's just spirits. And they just brush it off. Just brush it off. Just brush it off. And it's like, no, don't brush it off. Yeah, it's a spirit in a sense, but this is something that what you can do is help pray. But in the same token, you can pray and you can help say, what do you need me? What do you need from me? How can I?
It's and I want to add this too, special needs moms, be open to receive the help, because kind of like we touched on earlier, they're nervous by thinking it may be too much, or maybe feel some sense of fear of that child being out of their sight or releasing trust to somebody else. Like, be open to receiving the help, because the only way that they're going to, you know, get comfortable with your child and vice versa is the more that they engage with your child and the more that you teach them and show them, then think about in the future, it'll be better along the way. But if never give them a chance, then your child will never learn to be comfortable with them, and vice versa. So be open to receiving the help as well.
Absolutely. That is big.
Yes. So big. I know I have a family member, and I wouldn't say her child has special needs, but he's in that toddler phase, and I'll ask, like, bring him over, such and such. And it's always an excuse, like, well, no, and such and such. And I'm like, girl, I know you need a break.
Right.
And then it's children. I work with children, like, so I don't think they're nervous about, you know, them being safe, but just receive the help if the help is being offered, of course, with someone trustworthy. Now, they have discernment. Now, have discernment. Don't just send them with anybody. Right. Don't. Now, we're not saying do that. Don't do that. For sure, have discernment, but just be open, you know, to receive as well, because I can see how that could be hard. Mm-hmm. All right, so in conclusion, this is such a great conversation. I'm sure moms have pulled some nuggets, you know, just from what you've shared so far, but what advice would you give a mom with a special needs child who may be struggling?
I'll tell them to be patient with themselves. Don't beat up on yourself. Don't feel guilty about anything. Love on yourself. Love on your child. Know that your child is special and that you can get through it. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord. That's including the child. Everything serves a purpose. It's good going to come out of everything. Mm-hmm. And I just believe in a child being whole. And that's even with their special needs. I believe in healing. I believe that they can even be healed in even the severest special needs. And I also believe take breaks. Don't be scared to take breaks. I was taught one thing with Nehemiah, because I was scared for the first 2 years of his life to let anybody, a nurse or anything, keep him. And so one of the ladies came up to me when they was trying to push me to get nursing services for him. And they said, how can you be anything for him if you're nothing for yourself? That thing really set me, because you, like, if you're not healthy, what can you do for him?
Right.
Nothing. So you cannot not give yourself a break. You can't allow yourself to let fear set in,
yeah,
and not be able to maneuver through life challenges to having a special needs child. You have to get out, and don't be scared to get out and let your child branch out. I have a church member Her child is severely, severely autistic, severely special needs. And a lot of times she gets frustrated and he feels it to the point he starts acting out. And I had to tell her, she has this thing, she doesn't want him around people, she doesn't want this. And I said, that's the problem.
Yeah.
You can't allow him. I said, until you can become consistent with bringing him around people and consistent, he's going to continuously do this cycle of acting out because he doesn't know his environment. Mm-hmm. Because you in and out because you don't want to keep him around because you're scared of this and you're scared of that and this. And I told her straight up, I said, it's you. I said, he can feel you. I said, you can't do that. He has to be out. He has to be around people. You can't pull him out of school and homeschool him because you're scared too much. No, that's you. Never be too scared to branch out and allow your child to branch out.
Yeah.
Like your child needs that. He needs to know the world just like a regular child even knows the world. It's no different. They just got superpowers. That's just
yeah.
Have superpowers. And so I always tell him, like I said, take a break every chance you get and don't feel guilty about it. Don't feel bad. Because that's a lot of times they feel guilty. Don't feel bad about it. Take that break. Sleeping with somebody safe so you ain't calling every 5 minutes. Because I know how it is. But you receive the help. Like you said, receive the love. Because again, how can you be anything to your child if you're not something to yourself? You can't take care of it. If you're down and waddled and out of your mind, how can you be anything? Your kids don't go lacking. So take time for you. That's the biggest thing. Take time for you and don't feel guilty.
Girl, that is a word. That is so good because I could see, I know moms of typically developing children struggle with that. So I definitely can see that guilt, that mom guilt just attacking your mind as a special needs mom. Like, how dare you leave them and you know you need to be there and just the enemy trying to, you know, get you to burn yourself out there with a child. Because operating from burnout, it is going to affect, everybody's going to feel it in the house. Everybody's going to feel it. So that's so good. Well, I just want to give you your flowers and commend you. I'm so proud of, you know, what you have overcome in your journey. I'm proud of everything that you're stepping into. I think you are the prime example of a special needs mom who is like, I'm going after, you know, what God has called me to as far as you doing your hobbies and your interests and starting your businesses. You're very vocal and transparent, you know, about your situation. I think that has helped you along the way as well. Like, you're not afraid to share. You're not afraid to show the ugly parts as well as the beautiful parts of it. I feel like your life is a testimony to the world about how faithful God is and what it looks like to trust God in those hard seasons. I'm looking forward to your book coming out. I don't know if you have a date or anything for it, but I'm definitely looking forward to reading that. You for sure have a story to tell, girl, that can help so many special needs moms because that community is needed. I know community is a big piece of healing for a lot of people. You can't do this thing by yourself, so I commend you for being open about that. I don't think anybody can do life by themselves, specifically special needs moms. You need those other moms that you can share, those, like the win about the bus certificate. Somebody might be like, okay. But a special needs mom is like, girl, yes, that's a huge thing. Like,
that's a win.
That's a win. And you need those people to celebrate those moments with you. So keep doing what you're doing, girl. I'm rooting for you and I appreciate
Thank
you for
you
talking
so
with
much.
Me.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yes. And anyone who wants to connect with her for any type of service, I know she does makeup services as well. I have all her information in the show notes so you can connect with her. All right. Bye, Isha. Thank you so much.
You
have
a good one. You too.